We're now using Anchor to host our podcast.
If you haven't learned about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First of all, it's free.
There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer.
Anchor can help you distribute your podcast to a bunch of podcast directories like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and a bunch of other ones.
You can also earn money from your podcast with no minimum listenership.
Really? How much money can I make?
I don't know, but hopefully enough to buy a snake.
Or to save for college.
Or maybe to make it my own candy stash.
Or save for college.
No.
It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Bum bum.
Fun interviews to help you discover and learn new things.
And to inspire you to follow your dreams.
This is the Adventuring Sisters Podcast. Oh yeah, baby.
Hi, welcome back to the Adventuring Sisters podcast. I'm Carly.
I'm Ellie, and behind the scenes is our dad and producer, Papa Abe.
Hi, everybody.
It's been 6 months since our last episode, and that's because there's been many changes in our life, and we will tell you about them in this and more episodes to come. If you follow us on social media, you probably noticed that 4 months ago we bought a travel trailer.
We bought the travel trailer so that we could travel around and visit our family.
And see the different parts of the country. As you can imagine, living in a trailer is hard. And one of the things I struggle with is practically no privacy. Often I get really wound up and really angry at basically everything. And so I have to go outside and calm myself down. Usually with painting or throwing rocks or just taking a breath outside.
The RV is hard for me sometimes because we travel around a lot and you have to say goodbye to people a lot, and I'm not very good at that. But I like to think that whenever you say goodbye to someone, you get to say hello to another person.
That's a great way to look at it, Carly. What has been one positive thing about living in a trailer or about traveling?
Well, like the thing I said, but also, I guess, seeing a bunch of family and going to, like, different places to, like, farms and, like, zoos and stuff is really, really fun.
And for me, I may not have that much privacy, but I do have a bunk that I decorated. And my mom says it's messy, but I just love it so much. It has twinkly lights, and it just makes me so happy.
Yeah, and for me, I have to do a lot of work, especially with our sewage tanks. And that's been kind of difficult for me. But I do get to enjoy a lot of moments with y'all in different places where we've never been, and new experiences, and also seeing family. So it has its benefits, and it also has some really difficult things. But so far, we're loving it. Again, even though there's difficult days sometimes.
We've also brought home 2 new members of the family. One that we picked up in Arizona, and another that's on the way.
You probably have seen some of these updates on social media.
But we will continue the family noobs next episode. So the family member that we picked up in Arizona is our new pet tortoise, Pistachio.
I love Pistachio because he just walks around and he's like, "Hey, you humans over there, you better not be watching me."
Pistachio is a Russian tortoise that we bought at the Reptile Expo that we went to for Carly's birthday. And if you haven't guessed it yet, the new member of the family that we're expecting is a new baby.
Yay! The baby is due in December.
Are both of you excited for your new baby brother or baby sister?
So excited!
Kind of.
Yes, I am so excited.
Kind of.
What?
Well, I'm excited to have a new, like, brother or sister, but I just don't want to be only the first middle child and Josie be, like, the second middle child.
Oh, so you don't want to give up your middle child spot?
Yeah.
Well, the more the merrier. And you're going to have a lot of fun with this little baby.
I'm going to dress it up in doll outfits.
So we're back in Washington and school's starting in a couple of weeks.
Some of our friends in Arizona have already been in school for a couple of weeks. And so this episode is very late because we wanted to give people an option of what to do for the summer.
But the Phoenix Herpetological Sanctuary is open all year round. So you can go on the weekends, you can go after school, you can go on maybe some of the special events that they're holding.
Or you can watch their videos and follow them on social media.
So we hoped you liked our episode today with Ms. Caitlin Garcia, Education and Outreach Director from the Phoenix Herpetological Sanctuary. Herpetology is a study of reptiles and amphibians, so basically like snakes and lizards and like frogs and stuff. So I should really know that because I want to be a herpetologist when I grow up.
You want to own lizards and snakes and, well, tortoises too.
Yeah, all of them, including a tegu, except for the venomous ones. Not the venomous tegus, but the venomous snakes. So, I really enjoyed my visit to the Phoenix Herpetological Sanctuary, and we hope you enjoy this interview.
Could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Caitlin. I am the Education and Outreach Director here at the Phoenix Herpetological Sanctuary.
Thank you. When and how was the sanctuary founded?
Oh, that's a really good question. So it was founded in 2001 by three really good friends, Dan, Debbie, and Russ, and they wanted animals to have a place to stay. There wasn't really anywhere for reptiles to go, especially the animals kept illegally, like crocodilians and venomous snakes. So they were often euthanized or put down, which is really sad for those animals because they didn't get put in that place on their own. It was all due to, you know, humans. So they were going to come here and be education animals. And then we kind of expanded from there and started taking in pet trade animals and now do adoptions and education programs.
Wow. Yeah.
Do you have any poisonous snakes?
Ooh, that's a really good question. We don't have any poisonous snakes. Do you remember what this room is called? Venom room. Yes, so we do have venomous snakes. There are like a few species of poisonous snake, but there aren't very many. Most snakes are venomous. So here at the sanctuary, we have about 200 individual venomous snakes and maybe about 70 to 80 different species.
What is the difference between poison and venom?
Awesome. So poison and venom used to be all just poison, but they did start to differentiate them once they started studying venomous snakes a little bit more. But poison is ingested, so anything that you eat or that gets on your skin, so think about like food poisoning or the poisonous chemicals under the sink, that's poison. But anything that bites or stings is venomous. So a bee is venomous, ants are venomous, snakes are venomous.
Oh, I never knew that. What is your oldest resident, and when did you get her or him?
Ooh, I love that question, but it's really hard for us to answer because usually reptiles live such a long life, especially the tortoises who could live over 100 years, and often people give them to somebody else who then gives them to somebody else and then gives them to somebody else and then to us, and we don't really get the actual number or age that the animal is, so we're not really sure. If I were to guess, it would probably be one of our sulcata tortoises. We have about 400 of them, and some of them are quite large, over 200 pounds and maybe over 100 years.
Oh my goodness. How many types of tortoises and turtles do you have?
That's a really good question. It's changing all the time. Right now, I think we probably have about 20 different species of the water turtles and land tortoises combined.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
I want to hug them all.
You might get a bit wet with the turtles.
You can wear your swimsuit.
What is the biggest snake you have and how big is it?
Ooh, so when you say big, you have to talk about two different snakes. There's the heaviest snake in the world and there's the longest snake in the world. So the longest snake in the world is the reticulated python, and our largest one is named T1, and she is probably around 250 pounds and about 20 to 23 feet long.
Can you hold a venomous snake?
So we don't want to hold venomous snakes just because it can be dangerous, but that doesn't mean it doesn't have to happen sometimes. If a snake has something medically wrong with it or needs a shot or needs its blood to be drawn, then our venom keeper, Joe, will handle that snake appropriately and either put the head in a clear tube so he can see what's happening or figure out another way to hold that snake so maybe we get it off of a glue trap that happens sometimes, or out of a mouse trap. We've had that happen as well. So you don't want to hold them, but sometimes it's necessary to.
Yeah. I get uncomfortable when I do hold a snake, even if it's not poisonous.
Yeah.
How much do all the reptiles eat per day?
That's a really good question. So not all of our reptiles eat every day. Snakes eat about once a week. So we feed them on Saturdays. The really big snakes eat about every 2 weeks. So that's nice to just have to feed those not as often. Our herbivores, the ones that eat fruits and veggies, eat about every day. They eat maybe about a quarter of their body weight, depending on the animal. And then the insectivores, the ones that eat insects or other bugs, will eat about 3 times a week.
Do Russian tortoises eat, a lot?
So they are grazers. They're the herbivores. So they like to eat about every day, if not skip one day of the week. So we give them lots of fresh fruit and veggies and then lots of hay, too.
Other than reptiles, do you have any other animals you take care of?
Yes, we have a couple of mammals, and those we usually get from rescues where we go to intend on getting just reptiles, and mammals happen to be there. They're usually nocturnal animals that zoos don't want to take because they're only up at night and their guests don't really see them. So we have an otter, a possum, a prairie dog, six kinkajous, and a raccoon, and ringtail cats.
Do you have any amphibians?
Yes, so herpetology is the study of reptiles and amphibians, and we definitely have more reptiles than we do amphibians, but we have a couple of poisonous dart frogs who aren't really poisonous in captivity because they just eat flies instead of ants. We have Sonoran desert toads, a cane toad, a leopard frog, some salamanders and a newt, so a little bit of this and that, but not too much.
Do you have any animals or any that are in the endangered list?
Yes, so we are a part of the SSP, which is the Species Survival Plan, and that means that these animals are with us to help their species survive. So whether that means just in captivity or bringing the animals back to where they belong in the wild, there's a quite a few quite a few crocodilian species that we have, like our Cuban crocodiles, our Orinoco crocodiles, our New Guinea crocodiles, and then there's a few species of venomous snake as well.
And how many people work here or volunteer here?
Wonderful. So we are a nonprofit, which means all of the money that we get goes back into our mission, which is to educate the public about these animals and obviously take care of the animals. So we have 6 staff members and then about 40 to 80 volunteers, about 40 that come every week for sure, and then a little bit more than that that come periodically.
Can you tell us a crazy story about how an animal got here?
Sure. One of my favorite stories is about Mr. Stubbs. He is an alligator who was getting driven through Arizona in someone's trailer, and the guy got pulled over. The police asked if there was anything in the trailer they should be worried about, and the guy said no, and there happened to be over 30 alligators in this guy's trailer. Yes, so Mr. Stubbs is special out of that group because he is missing his tail. So hence his name. That's actually the stub of his tail right here on the desk. And he is the only alligator in the world that has a prosthetic tail. So Midwestern University and the Core Institute made him a fake tail, kind of like Winter the Dolphin, that helps him swim. So it's really, really cool to be a part of scientific research projects like that.
Yeah, that is awesome. Have you had any reptiles escape, like the tortoises or like the turtles or the
snakes? Alex?
Oh, the snake that's right by your feet.
What? Dad!
Luckily, we don't really have that problem. All of our volunteers are specifically trained to make sure that we lock the cages or put in the wedges to make sure the animals don't open them. The only real escape we've had is where the sulcata tortoises might get too big and knock over some of the bricks, and then they slowly try to run away. So, not too bad. Yeah.
What is your job title and what do you do?
Yes, so I am the Education and Outreach Director. So that means that I play a role that's kind of behind the scenes. I'm in the office a lot, but I'm writing grants that help us get money to fund maybe education programs or new buildings or new cages for the animals. Or I'm developing curriculum so that way the kids that come here when we go off to the schools, you know, are learning a bunch about the animals. Or I'm doing our social media, so I run our TikTok, our Instagram, our Facebook, our LinkedIn, whatever, you know, social media we have, and trying to find new ways to bring people to the sanctuary or to outreach to the public so that way they know that we exist and to get those funds to help the animals. I do help out with tours and other education programs when needed, but I do have a conservation educator that mainly does that when I am in the office.
Do you usually clean out? Do you sometimes like clean out some of the cages?
I did that a lot when I started. So I started as an intern about 5.5 years ago, and I just worked with the lizards, and I was cleaning and feeding and doing all that jazz. And then about 2 years later, I was able to get hired in this position. So I don't do as much cleaning anymore unless I'm with a class of kids, but I do miss it sometimes because feeding them and cleaning their cages are fun.
Have you or anybody else you know have ever gotten bit by one of the reptiles?
Yeah, that's a fair question. And you know, when you're working with animals, it does happen. Knock on wood, nobody, you know, has been bitten to where it really impacted their life. I have been bitten by a smaller snake and a smaller crocodilian and maybe a couple lizards, but you know, it just causes some scrapes, and it was usually my fault or if I'm trying to catch them or something. But it doesn't happen too often, you know, a couple scrapes is about as bad as it gets.
If you were one of the reptiles in the sanctuary, which one would you want to be?
Ooh, That's a really good question. They all get treated so well, so I'll just have to go with my favorite, which is the Gila monster. I love their orange color, and they're just so beautiful and mysterious because we don't know a lot about them, so I'll choose that.
If I did, I might want to do Russian Tortoise.
Yeah, me too.
Probably because I know almost nothing about any snake or almost no lizards. How can people donate to the sanctuary?
So on our website, phoenixherp.com, there's a button to contribute, but even just sharing our social media posts and helping us get the word out is so much help. So if you don't have the way to donate monetarily, you can definitely just share our social media posts.
What's your favorite thing about Phoenix?
My favorite thing about Phoenix is how different it is from the rest of the country. It's very unique here, and we have so many different reptile species. I definitely don't enjoy the heat during the summer, but I can appreciate the desert for what it is.
Yeah.
What's your favorite book?
Ooh, so I really like horror books, so I read a lot of Stephen King, but I think my favorite individual book that I have is actually a How to Care for Your Baby Alligator book. I got it from the 1950s, and actually all the care in it is really wrong, but I love to read it because it shows that learning how to take care of these animals in captivity changes, and we always try to make ourselves better and advance the care that we give these animals.
Anything else you want to add, like social media or contact stuff?
Yeah, so you can find us on all social media at Phoenix Herp, and my email is Caitlin, Katelyn, at phoenixherp.com. And, you know, we're all about teaching about these animals. We know that people are often quite scared of snakes, but they do play a really big, important role in our environment, and we want you to understand that importance and learn how to coexist with them. We don't expect you to fall in love with them like we are.
Do you charge to relocate a snake?
Yes, so we do charge $100 for a relocation of rattlesnakes and other native species, just because we have to pay for insurance and make sure that the volunteer, whoever goes out there, gets reimbursed for gas and things like that. But we charge so we can cover those things and to make sure that the animal's safe.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
With lizards and snakes.
Bum bum.
That was a great anthem for the Phoenix Herpetological Society or Sanctuary. I hope that they adopt that as their anthem. But actually, Carly, you got to go two times to that place.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, I was going with my aunt there first because I said I wanted to go like someplace where there was like reptiles, and so she looked some stuff up and she found the Phoenix Herpetological Sanctuary, and we just went there and it was really, really fun.
And since your birthdays were when we were in Arizona, you all got to do something special with your aunt, each of you, and you chose the Phoenix. Well, you chose something with reptiles and she took you there, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Ellie's going to tell us about her special outing with her next episode. But did you learn anything about the Phoenix Herpetological Sanctuary or about amphibians or reptiles while you were there?
I learned like crocodiles can lose like thousands and millions, and so can alligators. Like they can lose like thousands and millions of teeth and still grow them back because they have like the cartilage that they eat from their prey.
Probably not millions.
But probably like 100 teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I learned the difference between venomous and poisonous.
Right, Miss Caitlin taught us about that. And me being an EMT or a former EMT, I should have known that, and I completely forgot about the difference between a poison and a venom. But I do have to say, though, that I haven't been a full-time ENT in quite a while.
To find out more about the Phoenix Herpetological Sanctuary, go to phoenixherp.com.
Find them on Instagram and TikTok as Phoenix Herp, and that's Phoenix H-E-R-P.
And on Facebook as Phoenix Herpetological Sanctuary. Thank you to Miss Caitlin for this interview.
And thank you to our guide who showed us around. We forgot your name, and we're really sorry, but we learned a lot, and we are very thankful.
Well, that's the end of this episode.
Thank you for listening.
We'll be back with another episode soon, but in the meantime, don't forget to email us.
TheAdventuringSistersPodcast@gmail.com.
Follow us on social media. We are on Facebook and Instagram as Adventuring Sisters Podcast.
And on Twitter
as @ADV_SIS_podcast.
Don't forget to subscribe,
rate,
and review our podcast.
I love pistachio.